We're going to start here in Mark chapter 16, verse number 14. Now, what's going on here? Usually when we are looking at this time period that's being discussed in Mark chapter 16, we're looking at the resurrection, the road to Emmaus. That all takes place in the book of Luke. The same story is dealt with here, but in a lot more concise detail. Mark doesn't put quite as much detail in his books as some of the other Gospels do. But here in verse number 14 of Mark chapter 16, says afterward, what he's saying there, afterward, that would be after he met the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Then he meets with the other 11 disciples. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. So Jesus came back after his resurrection. He began to show himself to the disciples. He meets the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Then he comes and he meets these the 11 disciples here again as they were waiting. They were hiding in fear of the Jews. He meets them there and he presents himself to them. And a detail that Mark puts in that's not told us in the book of Luke is that he upbraids them, or he gives them reproof for their unbelief and the hardness of their heart, specifically the fact that they didn't believe the testimony that he had been resurrected. So a hard heart is something that Jesus dealt with the disciples about and told them that they needed to be aware of. We think of hardness of heart, we often think of the unsaved and how they're hardened to the truth of the gospel and how they're resistive to the message of God's word. But Jesus points out here that even as believers, we can let hardness of heart seep in. So if it's something we need to be aware of and something we need to resist and that God doesn't want us to have, we need to know what it is and what are some ways that we're going to overcome it. And so that's the idea today. How do we overcome a hard heart? Let's open with a word of prayer on our lesson here, and then we'll get into some definitions and things from the Bible. Lord God, we love you, and we thank you for today and for your time we have to gather around and study your word here. Lord, I pray that we as believers would be very careful to guard our hearts, to keep them from becoming hard, to keep ourselves tender to the influence of your Spirit in our lives, Lord, and that we would resist this. But Lord, do we need to know what it is and how it can creep into our lives so that we can resist it, Father? And Lord, if it's something that someone here is dealing with, a hard heart to the message of, that you want to work in their lives, that they would see today how to get beyond that so you can once again be working in their heart and in their lives, Lord. Pray that you would bless this Sunday school hour. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. So as you look at this idea of a hard heart, I want to start with what is it? What is a hard heart? How is a hard heart described in the Bible? We're going to start with the definition. Albert Barnes, I believe I included in your notes there, his definition for a hard heart. He gave quite a detailed one. He said, a hard heart is that where the conscience is seared and insensible, where truth makes no impression, where no religious effect is produced by afflictions, where preaching is listened to without interest, and where the mind is unaffected by the appeals of friends. The idea here is that a refusal to listen to the voice of God is connected with the hardening of the heart. Very simply, a hard heart is one that is unmoved by spiritual matters. I often encourage, as I deal with young people, I'm the youth pastor of our church, and I'm involved with the camp ministry at Mount Zion. I know your pastor's been out there before speaking for them. I often encourage young people, especially teen guys, as I have an opportunity to deal with them, to be aware of this idea of a hard heart. And we think, well, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, I'm in church, I go to church every week, I'm here at summer camp, I'm listening to the preaching. What do you mean a hard heart? The hard heart for the Christian is one that's non-responsive to the preaching of the Word of God. Non-responsive. And the hard heart that you see in a young person who grew up in church from the time they're a child is when the Word of God is open and the Bible's being read and you hear, oh, I've already heard this before. And then your mind is closed to the preaching of the Word of God. God's Word can make no impression on your heart. That's a hard heart. I already know this. I've already made this decision. I've already accomplished this. And if that's our attitude, if we allow that hardness to creep into our hearts, we can go for years in church without ever making a decision for God. We can go for years without ever visiting the altar and asking God to make a change in our lives. We can go, and there's people that have been in church for 20, 30 years since the last time they were stirred by the preaching of the Word of God. They're there because they're Christians, because they know they're supposed to, but God has stopped stirring their heart, or their heart has become unresponsive to the Word of God. And the cause of that is a hard heart. A hard heart's one that is unmoved by spiritual matters. I want to get into the second point here is the hard heart described. When we get to the Word of God, I'm sure you're aware that the Word of God, when it was written, originally was written both Hebrew for the Old Testament and Greek for the New Testament. Now, Hebrew and Greek, they're languages that kind of paint pictures with their words and their definitions, as opposed to English is more got static definitions. I don't try to get too detailed into Greek and Hebrew, but I like to see the pictures that God gives for these words that he's using when he's describing the effect that this has on a person's heart. It's quite interesting because there are quite a few different words that are used when the Bible talks about a hard heart. The first one that I came across, it has the idea of fortifying, of building armaments, of fortifying yourself, becoming very defensive is the picture. Someone who's resisting something, resisting an attacking force. You're seeing someone as an enemy coming and trying to affect you, so you put up fortifications. So the person with a hard heart has done that to God. They've said, God, I'm not going to let you into my life. I'm going to resist your Holy Spirit working in my life. I'm fortifying myself against what God's going to do or God wants to do in my life. There were times in my life where God was working on my heart about going into the pastorate or other things, decisions I made for God, that when the preaching began, I would begin to resist what God was doing. I knew what God wanted of me. I knew what God expected of me, but I said, no. No, I don't want you to do that. I don't want to make that decision. I don't want to respond that way. I set up fortifications. I resisted God. That's one picture the Bible gives us of a hard heart. The second word I came across that was used to describe a hard heart was just the idea of being dense. That was the definition, to be dense, to be hard, to be solid, to be impenetrable. We know the Word of God in the New Testament, we'll look at this in a little bit, is used as pictured as a seed as it's being planted in the ground. I don't know if you ever dealt with hard ground. I grew up in South Carolina, and there most of the dirt is red clay. And red clay gets very hard. And I was a landscaper, so there was a lot of planting that we did, digging. There was one time I remember specifically, we had to dig a 3-foot hole to get this tree in that we were planting. And the dirt was so hard, when I jumped, I bent the shovel in the dirt. It was that hard dirt. We had to fill the hole with water and let it sit for a couple hours and see it sink in just so we could get the dirt out of the way to make way for the plant. And some people's hearts are that way to God. They're just so dense, they're so impenetrable that no matter what God tries to do, he can't get in. He can't have access to that heart. And that's the idea there of being of having a hard heart, of being dense. There was another word that was used to describe having a hard heart, and that's the idea of being heavy or burdened or dull. And with the picture that was being drawn here in this word is the idea that it became numb. Numb or apathetic. You know, sometimes if something is just constantly wearing at you, it doesn't bother you anymore. If there's a noise or maybe a smell, and after a while you get used to it. And there's Christians that do that with the Word of God and the moving of the Holy Spirit. You just kind of get used to God telling you you're not supposed to do it, and you can ignore it now. I remember when I was in college, I did some work. We cleaned a house. I don't even know the lady's name. We called her the Stinky Lady. She had 4 dogs and 7 cats and 6 birds in her house, and she never let them outside. Once a year with her tax refund, she would hire somebody to clean her house. And we got picked that year to come in and clean her house. You walked in the house, you couldn't breathe, your eyes would water, but after you were in there, for about an hour and a half, you didn't notice it anymore. You'd become numb to that. And Christians can do that with the Word of God as God and God wanting to work in our heart, that we get so used to hearing the preacher preach about what we need to do. We get so used to hearing God speak to our hearts about being a witness or being a testimony that we've become numb. We've told Him no so many times that no longer does it really bother us anymore that God is bothered by our sin, that God is bothered by our attitude, that God wants to see a change in our life. That's the idea of being numb, another picture of a hard heart. We also have another word that is used in the Bible to describe a hard heart, and that's the idea of being self-fortified. Not just resisting, but setting up, building fences. People who are making themselves inaccessible to God. They're putting some distance and they're putting some fortifications between them and God, saying, God, I'm not letting you have access into my life. I'm keeping you at arm's length. That's the idea of being self-fortified. There's another idea that was used to describe a hard heart, and that was of someone who used to be soft and pliable. It's the idea of molten metal. But as it's poured into a cast, and then it cools and it becomes hard. It becomes fixed. It becomes set in its ways, if I could say it that way. A Christian who, yes, God could work in my life to a certain point, but once I got where I wanted to be, I'm not changing anymore. And that's the idea there of a hard heart that's used in the Bible, is that I used to be pliable until I got where I wanted to be, I cooled down, and no longer can I be moved. No longer can I be changed. That's the idea there of another word for a hard heart. There was another word that was used in the Bible to describe a hard heart, and that is the idea of becoming unfeeling, uncaring. That's, again, the idea of apathetic. I just don't care. Well, this isn't what God wants you, the way God wants you to live. Well, I don't care. I'm going to live the way I want to live. I know what God says, but. I've heard that from Christians. I know the Bible says that, but. Well, they just don't care what God says about it. They've made their own decisions. That's another type of a hard heart that is evident in a person's life. There's another word that's used to describe a hard heart, and that shows the idea of being obstinate. Someone who's stubborn, who just is going to refuse to change. They're set in their ways. Again, similar pictures that are being drawn there. Once we get into the New Testament, we get a little more specific, and one New Testament word to describe a hard heart is that of someone who is without spiritual perception. They don't understand spiritual things. In Corinthians, we call this a carnal person. Someone who has such a desire for the things of the world that the things of God aren't influencing them anymore. They're not being changed. They're not being aware of what God wants to do. They're spiritually immature, or they've just rejected spiritual things to pursue carnal things. That's someone, again, in the New Testament who's had a hard heart. There's another word that was used. There's just a couple more of these, but another word in the Bible used for a hard heart carries the idea of callousness. Now, if you work with your hands, or maybe even if just exercising, you're familiar with what a callus is. That's a spot where there's been abrasion in the past, but you've built up a tolerance to it. It's a callus. I've got calluses in my hand, on my hands from working, and I've worked so much in that spot that no longer does that friction, does that resistance bother me anymore. And when it comes to spiritual things, God's word should always be abrasive to our old nature. But we as people, as humans, can let our old nature build some calluses to the preaching that, oh, pastor's going to preach on that, I'm not going to listen anymore, because that's something that I'm not okay with. That's something that I'm not willing to give up. I've got a callus in my nature that I'm not going to let God bother me about this anymore. That's a callousness that we can develop. Another idea or picture of a hard heart. One, again, in the New Testament, we have one other word that is used to describe a hard heart, and this one has the idea of petrifying. Now, petrifying is a chemical process of fossilization where the elements, say, of a tree, you've heard of a petrified tree, a tree that has actually incorporated the minerals of the ground around it to where it's changed its structure to become a stone. What used to be a living thing is now something that's dead. What used to be something that was made biological has now become mineral. It's a changing of natures. And the Bible in the Old Testament talks about people who had a heart of stone, and God wanted to take that out, give them a heart of flesh. And as believers, we know we can't lose our salvation, but our heart that used to be soft and tender to the things of God, if we allow it to be immersed in this world, the world's influences will get in there and harden our heart against the things of God. And then the last word that we see in the Bible that is used for describing a hard heart is that of something drying up like a piece of clay. If you've ever worked with clay and you've baked it in an oven, or you just let it sit out in the sun, what was once pliable will become hard and no longer be able to be molded or changed or to be formed or fashioned. Israel in the book of Isaiah is described as the clay on the potter's wheel and in the potter's hand, and how that clay became unresponsive to the potter and he had to break it because it was no longer responsive. So in our heart, our heart needs to always stay pliable in God's hands. God always wants to be making changes, always wants to be making adjustments, always be wanting to take old things out and put new things in. But if we allow our heart to set, to dry up, and it no longer becomes pliable, God no longer can make the changes He wants to make. So it's interesting to see all those depictions or descriptions of a hard heart in the Bible. The idea of a hard heart shows up 41 times throughout the Bible, and so it's interesting in just that number, 41, that there's this many different words or ways that God tries to describe what a hard heart is. We're getting to the third point here in our summary of a hard heart, and that is the hard heart depicted. Where do we see a hard heart? Who's an example of a hard heart in the Bible? There are not just these times, 41 times that a hard heart shows up, but there's other pictures that the Bible uses to describe the same idea of having a hard heart. You've heard of having a stiff neck. or being a stiff-necked people or somebody who hardened their neck. That terminology is used throughout the Old Testament. We already mentioned that of having a stony heart. There's a reference to having fallow ground that's gotten hard and he's broken up. And then we get to, we'll look at this a little bit later, but there is the idea of the different types of soils that Jesus brings up in his parable about the sower and the seed and the soils that were there. But when we come to the Bible, there's two primary examples the Bible uses or points back to and says, here's someone that had a hard heart. Does anybody know the first one? First one with a hard heart that we see in the Bible. Pharaoh. So of the 41 times the Bible uses the phrase a hard heart, 20 of them are in reference to Pharaoh. He got half the mentions of someone who had a hard heart. We'll be looking at his hard heart in a minute because the way he responded to the things of God really can teach us about what a hard heart will do or how a hard heart will make you respond. But we get to this idea of Pharaoh's hard heart. The question always comes up, was it Pharaoh that hardened God his heart or did God harden Pharaoh's heart? Because both phrases are used throughout the Old Testament. We're not going to take the time to look at it now, but if we do study it out, and I believe you can clearly see that Pharaoh hardened his heart, and then after a certain point, God began to harden Pharaoh's heart for the reason that God will get glory through the deliverance of the people from Israel. So Pharaoh is the first example of someone who had a hard heart, and obviously someone who's unsaved and was non-responsive to the message of God. But then we get into another example, and this is what the New Testament points back to in the book of Hebrews, as when it quotes the book of Psalms, where it says, harden not your hearts. You've heard that phrase, harden not your hearts, as in the day of provocation. This is in reference to the children of Israel back in the wilderness. And there were many times in the wilderness that the children of Israel hardened their hearts against the things of God. But the primary passage that's being referenced is when it came time for them to go into the promised land. They had the promises of God. They had the messenger of God. They had the man of God. They had the witnesses of Joshua and Caleb that this is what God wanted you to do. This is what God was going to enable you to do. And they hardened their heart and say, no, we're not going to do what God wants us to do. We're going to go back. And it was at that point they hardened their heart. And from then on throughout the Bible, we see that being pointed back to and say, don't do that. Don't harden your hearts the way that they did. So these are the two primary depictions that we see in the Bible of someone who had a hard heart. Pharaoh, as well as the children of Israel who were refused to go into the promised land and who complained about God's leadership and direction through Moses throughout their time in the wilderness. So that's kind of a summary or how the Bible describes or would define what a hard heart is. Secondly, this morning, it's afternoon. My Sunday school habit's coming out. So secondly, I'd like to look at the symptoms. What does a hard heart cause you to do or cause you to have or cause you to respond? We're going to look at Pharaoh to see what his hard heart made him do. I know he's an unsaved person, but his hard heart as an unsaved person caused him to respond to God in a certain way. And he gives us the clearest picture of a hard heart in the Bible. Over almost half the references to the hard heart refer to Pharaoh. So we'll be looking at him as our example of what a hard heart does in spiritual matters. And then as I looked at his life and the different times that his hard heart is described, I found 14 ways that he responded to spiritual things that are symptoms of a hard heart. As we go through this list, maybe you can see, is this something that's in my life? Is this a way that I respond? Maybe that's evidence that my heart might be getting a little bit hard, and I need to be aware of it and to correct that in my life. So the first thing we see in Pharaoh's life is with his hard heart is that a hard heart will not submit to God. In Exodus chapter 5, verse number 2, the Bible says, "And Pharaoh said, Who is the Lord, that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." So once someone's heart becomes hard, they're not going to listen to God. They're not going to submit to God. They're not going to be obedient to the Lord. And Pharaoh was a clear example of that. Who's God to tell me what to do? Now, we as Christians would never have the audacity to say, well, who's God to tell me what to do? But we'll do that about God's man. Well, who does that preacher think he is? Tell me how to live my life. What, I know the Bible says that, but I don't agree. I don't agree with how that is being interpreted on that. And so we'll refuse to submit to God in our lives. And maybe not just with the pastor, with the preaching, but in our personal lives. There was a time in my life when I was refusing to submit to God regarding the call to the ministry. I didn't want to be a pastor. It's not what I wanted to do. Not my plan for my life. And I didn't want to do it, and I resisted God in that regard. And it didn't matter what the pastor preached on. For several years, I went to the altar every day, every service, and I came down front and said, God, just show me what you want me to do. And he said, you want to be a pastor? Like, well, God, when you want to show me,
I'll surrender. And he said, why don't you be a pastor? I go back and sit in my seat. No matter what the pastor is preaching, I come down and tell God I'm not going to be a pastor every service. Because I was resisting. I didn't have anything to do with what the preacher was saying. It was what God was doing in my heart. And I was refusing to submit to God. That's a hard heart. And Pharaoh got that way, and we as believers can get that way when we refuse to submit to God. And that can be in any area. Maybe it's something big. Maybe it's something that you consider small. If you're going to telling God no in any area of your life, you've hardened your heart against God. You've fortified yourself against the Lord in that way. So a hard heart refuses to submit to God. Secondly, a hard heart will judge others' motives. In chapter 5, verse number 8, following this passage of Pharaoh's hard heart, it says, and the tail of bricks which they did make hitherto, ye shall lay upon them. Ye shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. For they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. So Pharaoh assumed, well, these people want to go sacrifice to God. Well, that's because this is what they think. This is what they feel. Well, they're just bored. That's why they're wanting to go out. Let's increase the workload. They're judging the motives of other people. I can't see anyone else's heart. I can't judge their motives. And someone, once they get a hard heart, they're going to get very critical of others and other people's motivations. A Christian who's refusing to submit to God is going to be very critical of a Christian who's tender to the things of God. Oh, well, they're just trying to look good. They're just trying to get people to notice them. Oh, they're always doing those things up front so people give them accolades. I don't do that kind of stuff. I don't want that kind of recognition. They're going to be hypercritical, just as Pharaoh was. And it was not because he wasn't right about the children of Israel. He had a hard heart, and he was projecting that on others. He said, my motives are bad, so I'm assuming their motives are bad as well. And that was the hard heart being evidenced in the life of Pharaoh. Thirdly, we see that a hard heart is skeptical of God's message. In Exodus 7, verse 9, it says, that when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you. Then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. Pharaoh wasn't going to believe God's message unless he had proof. Well, how do you know that's what God meant? How do I know that's really coming from God? I don't believe that. I disagree. And they're going to be resistive and skeptical to the message of God. That's a symptom of a hard heart. Fourthly, a hard heart will only accept a message that agrees with its position. This is a very common one, especially when I have people that I'm counseling to go get counsel. So I'll have somebody I'm talking to, well, you should go talk to pastor about that. You know, they never do. Everybody I've told to go talk to pastor about something has not gone and talked to pastor about it. Why? Because they wanted to find somebody that would agree with them. They know pastor wouldn't agree, so they're not going to go ask him about it. You're looking for someone that agrees with them. And if you're only looking for somebody that agrees with you, you're not willing to listen to another opinion, another spiritual thought, and a spiritual counselor on the matter, well, your heart's kind of set. You've already made your decision of what you're going to do. This is what happened with Pharaoh in Exodus chapter 7, verse 22. It says, the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, neither did he hearken unto them, as the Lord has said. Well, he clearly had a miracle from God. He said, show me a miracle, I'll believe you. He saw a miracle. That didn't agree with his presupposition. So he said, hey, well, you guys do a miracle. His guys did a miracle. He said, yeah, see, I was right. Doesn't matter what God said. I knew I was right because I found somebody to agree with me. He was hardened in his prior beliefs. He wasn't willing to change when he saw God's message. Next, we see that a hard heart, another symptom of a hard heart, is that a hard heart will never be satisfied. In Exodus chapter 8, verses 8 through 10, this is after they have the plague of frogs. Pharaoh calls for Moses, and Aaron says, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may do sacrifice to the Lord. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me, when shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only? And he said, tomorrow. And he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. So he was given Pharaoh, he had the proof of the plague. The frog showed up. That proved that God was against him. He had the proof of the removal of the plague. He asked God, you pray to God, ask him to take it away. That took it away. That was proof that God was in this. He even had proof of the timing. He got to tell Moses when to take the frogs away. So it wasn't something just natural. So he had all this evidence, but he wasn't satisfied. He still wasn't going to believe God. It wasn't enough to get him to submit to God. No matter how much evidence he was shown, he could not be satisfied. Next, we see another evidence from Pharaoh's life. A hard heart only seeks for God when there's times of need. In Exodus 8, verse 15, it says, but when Pharaoh saw there was no respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. So a Christian with a tender heart is going to want to be in a relationship with God all the time. They're going to want to walk with the Lord and walk in the Spirit. But someone who has a hard heart, they could care less about the things of God until they have a need. We see this in secular culture all around us, that they're fine living their life their way until turmoil comes. It's then that they want to see the preacher. It's then that they want to talk to you about bringing prayer requests to your church because they have a need. Because they're not wanting to let the Lord have influence in their life all the time, only when they need Him. That was the case in the heart of Pharaoh. A hard heart also will ignore counsel. When somebody's telling you what's the right thing to do, you're going to ignore that when your heart's become hardened. Pharaoh, in Exodus chapter 8, as well as Exodus chapter 10, was confronted by his magicians, who agreed with him the first time. And he was confronted by his servants that said, look, you're doing the wrong thing. We need to let these Israelites go. And Pharaoh hardened his heart and says no. He refused to hearken unto counsel. He refused to let anybody else tell him that he was wrong. That's a hard heart. When no one else can confront you, when no one can say, hey, you're not doing this right, you're not living right in this area, that's another evidence of a hard heart. A hard heart will also change what God has commanded. In Exodus chapter 8, verse 25, Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron. He said, yes, you can go and sacrifice to your God in the land. And so there are several times that Pharaoh offered a compromise to Moses and to Aaron. Said, well, you guys can just sacrifice to God here. Or you guys can go sacrifice, but you need to leave your cattle. He made some compromises. He changed what God had commanded because he wasn't willing to go all the way. He wasn't willing to submit to God completely. And there's a line of Christians like, okay, well, I'll start doing this. Well, that's not what God told you to do. Well, it's enough. I'm doing this. Isn't that enough already? I've already told God yes in this area. Isn't that enough? A hard heart's not willing to submit to all of God's commands, only what they're agreeable to. We see also, as we look at Pharaoh's hard heart, that a hard heart will only obey in part. And that goes right into that last point. They're not going to completely fulfill what God has told them to do. A hard heart also compares itself with others. Pharaoh, in Exodus chapter 9, said, Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead. And so the heart of Pharaoh was hardened. Well, why is God treating them different than me? Why aren't they having a hard time and why am I having a hard time? Why are they being blessed and I'm not being blessed? Constantly comparing yourselves among yourselves, God says that's not wise. Well, that's what someone with a hard heart is going to do. They're going to use circumstances of themselves and others to prove why they're right in their position. And so that's another evidence there of a hard heart. A hard heart, this one is obvious, is based in pride. In Exodus chapter 9 and verse number 17, it says, "Yet as yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go." Pharaoh continued to stand up in pride against the commands of God. What Pharaoh wanted was more important than what God wanted. That basic sin of pride that everyone struggles with. Another evidence there, or a symptom of a hard heart. A hard heart, this next point here, it says it will repent for personal benefit. Pharaoh was willing to change as long as circumstances got better for him. As long as my submission to God benefits me, I'm willing to go along with it. But at the point that God wants me to make a sacrifice, at the point God wants it to cost me something, I'm no longer willing to go along with it. I'll go along with God as long as it's good for me. I've seen a lot of young Christians get saved, and they come and they're be part of the church, and they're excited until they're challenged, and then they disappear. I've seen this even with young people that coming in, maybe on our bus routes at the church. They'll come into church, they'll be excited, they'll come to junior church, they'll start coming every week, and we'll try to get them to take the next step. And we'll take them to a summer camp. And then they're gone. Never see them again. Why? Because, well, I'm not willing to go that far for God. I'm willing to go for God as long as it's fun. I'm willing to go for God as long as there's candy. I'm willing to go for God as long as I get rewarded. But once you are going to ask something of me, that's as far as I'm going to go. And that's another evidence there of a hard heart. Pharaoh was willing to go along with God as long as it benefited him. But once the benefit stopped and it was going to cost him something, he told God no. A hard heart also doesn't want to be around God's man. In Exodus chapter 10, verse 28, the Bible says, "And Pharaoh said unto him, Get thee from me, and take heed to thyself, and see my face no more. For in the day that thou seest my face, thou shalt die." They didn't want to be around the man of God anymore. The man of God brings conviction. I've used that example to our young people talking about maybe having a clean life. And I said, well, what would you think if I come over to your house right now after church? They're like, oh, well, no, I got to get there first. I got to clean my room. Why? Because the preacher being there for some reason brings conviction. Now, I'm just a man. He's just a man just like anyone else. But the man of God does bring conviction when he's there. And we're aware of that. Well, Pharaoh didn't want the man of God around anymore. It bothered him to have the man of God around. And when we let our hearts become hard, we're not comfortable in the presence of spiritual people. Why? Because we know we're going to get confronted about it. We know that God's going to bring that conviction. We know that God's going to point out the differences in our lives. So a hard heart doesn't want to be around God's man. And a hard heart will hurt other people. In Exodus chapter 12, at the end of the plagues, Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. There was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Pharaoh hardened his heart, refused to submit to God, and maybe he thought, it's just affecting me. But it came to a point where every home in his nation had a dead child in it because of him. And we might think that my lack of submission to God is not hurting anybody else. It's not bothering our church. It's not restricting our outreach. It's not doing anything to anybody else. It's not hurting my family. It is. And it's going to. If you allow that hard heart to continue, it is going to cause pain to those around you. So another reason why we want to overcome that in our lives. So lastly this morning, as we wrap up here, so we saw the description there of a hard heart and the symptoms of a hard heart. What are some solutions? How do we overcome a hard heart as believers? Where do we get beyond that? The first solution may seem kind of obvious, but it's something that we've been commanded, so I can't go without being mentioned there. Don't harden your heart. God commands twice in the Bible, once in Psalms, and then it's quoted again in Hebrews, harden not your heart. Don't let it get hard. Don't resist God's work. Don't tell God no. Don't have a hard heart against God's influence in your life. Hebrews 3 verse 8, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. In the day of temptation, the wilderness. So step one, don't harden your heart. When God wants to do something, always tell God yes. Always tell God yes. When God works in your heart, always tell God yes. When you're coming to the house of God, take some time beforehand and say, God, can you do something in my heart today? Often I pray as I'm at church, say, Lord, help me not to leave the same person that I came in. What am I asking God? I'm saying, God, make sure that I'm pliable enough for you to make a difference today. I want to be different when I leave church than when I came in. I don't want to get comfortable coming to church, hearing the preaching, saying that was great, shaking people's hands, going home, and being the same guy every week. I want to continue to be pliable. I want God to continue to make those changes. I want God to make adjustments, and I want Him to do that every service. Again, using an example from summer camp, I encourage our teens and even the other young people that are at the summer camp that we go to, take every sermon that you hear and write at the bottom of your notes, write down, today I'm going to stop doing this based on this message. Today I'm going to start doing this based on this message. Today I'm going to change this in my life because of this message. God wants to do something in your life when He preaches the Word of God to you. The men of God, they prepare and they study and they pray and they meditate to give something to you, to feed you from the Word of God. And that's, God wants to use that to speak into our hearts and to make changes. So God wants you to stop something. God wants you to start something. God wants you to change something. He wants to make a difference. And as long as we're tender, God can make those changes. But once we become hard, we come into church and we leave church and we're the same person all the time, never making a change. So don't harden your heart. Another way that we can avoid hardening our heart is by being sensitive to the needs of others. In Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse number 7, this is a command to the children of Israel. It says, if there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within thy gates, in thy land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. God's given us a church that we're a part of. And as a part, being part of a church, we have the commands in the New Testament that we're supposed to weep with them that weep and rejoice with them that rejoice. When one member hurteth, all the members are supposed to suffer. We need to be aware of the needs of those around us. We need to see someone when they're hurting. We need to see someone when they're down. The essence of a hard heart is that you're self-absorbed, that you're prideful, that only I'm the only one that matters, and my relationship with God, and you're focused on yourself. When you start focusing on others, your heart's going to be tender to the needs of those around you. And we get to the book of 1 John, this principle is brought even more clearly. In chapter 4, verse number 20, it says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? The evidence of our love for God is seen in our love for the brethren. It's seen in how we treat one another, where our evidence how much we have a love for God. And so if you can't care about the needs of those around you, how are you going to care about what God wants to do in your heart? But you start caring about others, that's going to make your heart more tender for God to move and to speak to you about other people's needs. How can I ever be prompted by God to meet the need of a brother or a sister in Christ if I'm not paying attention to the needs that are out there? How can I be a witness to somebody as I'm out and God prompt my heart to be a witness if I'm not paying attention? If I'm just got my headphones plugged in and not listening to the world around me, not aware that I'm walking by people who are on their way to hell, how is God going to work in my heart if I don't see the needs around me? If I'm not aware of those things, if I'm not sensitive to those needs. But when you become sensitive to the needs of others, that'll soften a hard heart. Thirdly, we see is when it comes to a hard heart, we need to fear God. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 14, the contrast is made. It says, "Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief." A hard heart's going to get you into trouble. But when you fear God means I'm going to be obedient to God. I'm going to listen to God. I'm going to have respect to the will and to the word of God. Whenever God wants to do something in my life, if I fear God, I'm going to comply with that. And God says that brings happiness. People think that you're a Christian, you do everything a Christian is supposed to do, you're going to be miserable. God clearly states in the Bible it's otherwise. You find happiness, you find joy when you're fully surrendered and submitted to God. So fearing God will keep you from having a hard heart. The person who has a hard heart or a stiff neck is someone who has no fear of God. That stiff neck is another example, or a hard neck, we see that in the Bible, someone who just, I don't care what God says. That's a stiff neck. That's a hard neck. God, you can say whatever you want. It's not going to affect me. Bless me if you can. Change me if you can. Doesn't matter. I'm set where I am, and I'm not going to change. That's a hard heart that doesn't fear God. But if we get to a place where we fear God, and no matter what God says or what God wants, I'm going to comply, I'm going to obey, I'm going to listen, I'm take heed, well, then that's going to soften a hard heart. We need to also be aware that sin will cause us to harden our heart. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 13, it says, "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any one of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Sin will trick you. Sin will deceive you. And someone who's giving into sin will have their heart hardened to the things of God. If God does not have control of your heart, your flesh will. And if your flesh is in control of your heart, you're going to give in to sin. And when sin reigns and rules in your life, you're not living a life that's submitted to God. And so if you have something that you've been dealing with that you just have not given up, that you know God doesn't want you to have in your life, you've surrendered to that sin, you're not submitted to God. And when you're not submitted to God, you're going to have a hard heart. That sin will deceive you. But that sin will harden you to the things of God. Do not be deceived by sin. And then lastly this morning, as we wrap things up, I want to look real quickly in Matthew chapter 13. You can flip over there with me at the parable of the sower, or the parable of the soils, as it's been called. Here, Jesus gives four types of soils that were representative of those who hear the word of God. Often this is applied to lost people as they hear the message of the gospel, but I believe it can be equally applied to Christians and how we respond. So these four types of soil that are mentioned here, real quickly I'll read this passage. Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 through 9 says, "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell upon the stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into the good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." So here Jesus gives us four different types of soil that represent four different types of hearers to the word of God. The wayside was the hard soil where the seed could not penetrate. The stony ground was the shallow soil where the seed could not survive. The thorny ground was where the seed could not compete. And the good ground was where the seed could thrive. Only two of these soils are pertinent to our lesson today. We have the wayside, that's the hard ground. The hard ground where that seed could not penetrate. And we have the good ground. And the goal of the lesson here to overcome a hard heart is we want to move from a place where our heart is hard to where it's good ground. So that when God's word is planted, it doesn't just sit there and not make any difference. It comes in and it brings forth fruit every time they hear the message of the word of God. So what was it about the good ground that made it accepting of God's word? If we want God to do something in our life and in our hearts again, we need to have our hard ground turned into good ground. First of all, good ground is pliable. It's not hard. That's the first point. That's not hard. It can receive the word. It can be changed. It can be moved. The hard things have been broken up. That's been softened.
And our heart needs to be done as well. The hard ground of our heart needs to be made soft and loose. Good ground is also purged. The weeds and the stones are removed. If you've ever been around farmers' fields, I used to go hunting a lot, and you go through fields, you come to the edge, you'd often find big piles of rocks. And what that was as the farmer plowed his field, he'd find these rocks, and they'd get thrown in the back of the tractor, and they'd get dumped. And you'd find mounds of rocks that had been cleaned and purged from the soil so that the soil could continue to produce fruit. If you have a garden, you have to go out and get rid of those weeds. So there's things, basically, that God needs to take out of our heart if we're going to have our heart be good ground. So he needs to make our heart soft, but he also has some things he needs to get rid of. But also, a good ground is prepared. God will put some things into the ground. A good farmer is going to put fertilizer in the ground, so the things that are needed there for the plants to thrive will be there. And there's things God wants to take out of our hearts, but there's things God wants to put into our hearts as well. And we need to be receptive to those things. The reading of the Word of God, the hearkening unto the Spirit, the submitting and the walking with the Lord, being in church every opportunity that the doors are open to hear the Word of God being preached. That's how God puts things into our hearts so we can be productive as Christians. Good ground is also possessed. I couldn't think of another good P word here, but it's owned. It's managed. The sower has complete control over the soil. A good soil doesn't resist the sower's work. And if we are completely surrendered to God, God has complete authority to make any change he wants. If he wants to plant something different, if he wants to move the field, if he wants to take dirt out, put dirt in, add fertilizer, remove weeds, whatever he wants to do, if God has control, God can do it. And our hearts need to be open to God that way. God, any change that you want to make, anything you want to do different, here's my heart. Make the changes. It's yours. It's not mine. And good ground is also penetrable. You can put that seed in the ground. It'll go in. So when the Word of God is preached, are you ready to receive it? When you open the Bible in the morning to read your devotions, are you just fulfilling a duty, or are you looking for God to stick something in that soil that's going to bring forth fruit later? How penetrable is our heart to the things of God? It's then that we have a soft heart to the things of God. God can begin to work in our lives again. If we go back to the definition we started with, a hard heart is one that's unmoved by spiritual matters. A soft heart is the opposite, where it's moved by spiritual matters, where God has control, where God can make changes, where God can touch and talk and lead in our hearts and our lives. It's our prayer that we as Christians could have a heart that is soft and tender to the things of God. Let's close now in a word of prayer as we conclude our Sunday school hour.